You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and, of course, on television as well on the Fantasy Sports Network. Push back here with you, pushing back after our drafts, pushing back and trying to get those week one lineups in and ready to rock alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the birthday king Scott Angle, turned 76 over the last time. It is Wall Street Matt Modica hanging out with us here today. Scott Angle, happy birthday. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Had some drafts last night. Did well, and you're just looking forward to a nice, relaxing day ahead.
You drafted and made it in.
What are you up to for your birthday, my friend?
I'd probably go out to eat.
Go out, have a nice hearty
maybe
lunch.
Chili's or Outback or something like that.
When you go to Chili's or Outback, do you get all the waiters saying happy birthday to you?
They do that sometimes, yeah.
You get the senior citizen discount.
You're going to get that in about a year yourself.
You
got gray in your beard.
Cardano is hating. I know Cardano is loving this right now.
You know what makes no sense about it, though? Cardano's the same age as me. He calls me bald. He's got two more hairs than I do.
Well, Scotty, when you're at the restaurant, does like Sean, your son, go like secretly tell the waiter it's my dad's birthday, so they secretly come with the dessert? And
he's done that before.
Do they sing Kiss songs to you?
Imagine. I wish they would. I wish there was a Kiss tribute band playing tonight somewhere.
What did your wife get you for your birthday?
I won't find out till I get home this morning.
Oh, yeah. All right, very cool. Yeah. And so you haven't got any presents yet?
Not yet.
He walks in the door. Slap.
I'm sorry. Glasses fall off.
You're a hater, son.
I'm not a hater,
Scott. You're a hater.
I didn't say it.
You like glasses fall off.
I thought it was funny. I love you though, Scott. Happy birthday,
I love
my
too.
Man.
We do love Scott.
Well, Shay, how are you, man? How was your weekend? I know you had a very busy weekend. A weekend you were looking forward to for months. Mm-hmm. It all come and gone. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I really like the way it all worked out. You know, we'll see how it plays out, and that's the whole key. But, you know, I'm very happy with the teams, very happy with some of the guys. One of the guys I was real happy to get, and especially at the price I got him, was Christian McCaffrey. I got him at 3.9 and 4.4.
Yeah,
I did a satellite last night.
I got him in fourth last night.
And I wanted, one of the reasons why I did it is because I wanted to get a share of McCaffrey, because I don't have no McCaffrey at this point. I've been saying that for the past couple of weeks that I wanted him as an RB2. I just realized that that's not going to happen. So I had a 12 pick last night. I started, who did I start with? I know it was dominating. I started Melvin Gordon, Brandon Cooks. And then when I came back, third round reverse, when I came back, I was going to actually take Tom Brady there, but he went in front of me. I took another wide receiver, and I was hoping to get McCaffrey back on the swing in the fourth, and he went like right in the third. And I was like,
you
damn.
Finally got to Rocky Marciano.
I didn't get him.
Oh, you didn't get him.
I didn't get him.
So, Corey, speaking of players you didn't get, how did your drafts go, man? How you feeling?
Everything went well, you know what I'm saying? I can't complain how the weekend shook out. Had my home league last night. Like I said, I was fiending last night, so I had to hop in another NFFC. So I knocked that one out the park, and then the big one on Friday night. I was satisfied. A lot of lineups look different than they have so far, but I think it came together pretty good.
We'll come back over some of the bigger headlines from the weekend, including Andrew Luck, Jonathan Williams, and more. Roto Experts in the Morning, up and running. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
right, we're back here at Roto this morning. Birthday boy, Scott Angle, drumming today. And then playing a guitar, I guess. All right, so we had a major cut over the weekend, and that was the cutting of Jonathan Williams in Buffalo. Surprised everybody when Williams was announced as cut, which means it's Mike Tolbert now the official backup to LeSean McCoy. Are you nervous? Now, I don't say are you nervous, but Modica, we talked a lot previously about Jonathan Williams potentially having standalone value, potentially being a touchdown vulture, much in the vein of Mike Gillisley was last year. Can Mike Tolbert fill that role for the Buffalo Bills?
I think Tolbert's going to be more of a goal line vulture than anything. I mean, if he has one thing he does well, it's that. And, you know, with him and DeMarco there, it's kind of going to be interesting. I really don't know what the hell the Bills are doing. I think it's just pretty much they are getting rid of everyone from the past regime, you know, as far as front office, any players that were taken. So it's just a total rehaul. And at this point, I just want the number one pick.
Just that.
That's really the only thing I'm rooting for the Bills this year.
Yeah, it's, the guy is just a goal line hammer. We saw it in Carolina as well. McCoy could get banged up there. It's, you know, you look at my first round guide, rotoexperts.com, the exclusive Edge fantasy football package. And I don't even McCoy in the first round. I feel like he's going to get a lot of defensive attention this year. He's going to get banged up. And they're going to be in trouble if he gets injured.
Yeah, they certainly
they're in
are.
Trouble anyway, Scott. That's
more
the bottom line.
More trouble.
That's the bottom line with the Buffalo Bills. Mike Tolbert can do two things well: score touchdowns and dance. He's a very good touchdown dancer too.
He's got a good nickname, the Bowling Ball.
Yeah,
love the Bowling.
He's still
bowling
a good
nickname.
Blocker.
Love the Bowling Ball nickname.
You don't get no fantasy points for blocking, Scott.
You said he do two things. You know, I watch football for more than just the fantasy points, Corey.
Where do you, Corey?
Yes.
Where do you think Jonathan Williams ends up?
With the New York Giants.
Do you? You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that.
No, I don't know where he's going to end up at. I don't know. It's going to be a situation. He'll end up somewhere. Listen, I got him in a 20-round league. I'm not going to cut him. I'm going to give him a couple weeks, see if he picks up someplace. And then I'll cut him because I got him on a few teams. Because, you know, he was a player that I was interested in. He was a player that all of us had probably more than likely had on a few teams. So, but I'm not really tripping off of that, though. If I waste a roster spot on him, I waste a roster spot on him.
Yeah, as I said earlier on the show, I've dropped him. I'm not holding on to Jonathan Williams.
You drop people too fast.
Well, no, I'm dropping a player that's dropped by his team. So why do I want to own a player?
You wanted to drop Andrew Luck a week ago.
I did, yeah. But I didn't. I didn't do that. I dropped Jonathan Williams because he's not on his team. His own team dropped him. Why wouldn't I drop him?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Scott. Yeah. Speaking of Andrew Luck, was activated off the PUP list by the Indianapolis Colts, and that means that he will be ready, or they assume he will be ready, before the first six games are up. That's the only reason they would have to activate him. They believe he'll come back before then. Adam Schefter immediately reported he is doubtful for week one, but when it comes to week two, week three, week four, that is a day-to-day timetable. We will see, Matt, what happens.
I think by October 1st, he's on the field.
You've been saying that from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably missed the first 2 weeks, maybe week three, depending upon how he's progressing and how they want to play it. They want to be ultra-safe, but you know, I think for where I had seen him go before this week, and even this weekend to an extent, but he was going like 11th round or somewhere in the 10th round, and I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that either. You know, I had said ultimately I wanted to drop him. I wanted to stay away. I don't want to draft him. But I haven't dropped him yet, and I've held on to him. But Corey, the question becomes here in week one, what we do with the rest of the Indianapolis Colts, the Hiltons, the Moncriefs, the Doyles, guys that you have drafted in hopes that Andrew Luck comes back quickly. He's not going to be back for week one. But you drafted him, and you drafted the guys, the T.Y. Hilton, pretty high.
Yeah.
Do you start him?
I think a situation where you do have to start him, listen, the talent on T.Y. Hilton is just too good. He's not like he's going to be an oafer out there. He may disappoint the first week or two. I can see maybe in week two you want to hop off, depending on how bad it looks this week. But in week one, I think you got to go ahead and still throw him in your starting lineup.
Yeah,
you got that very good options.
I think so, but with Moncrief, you know, not so much. With Jack Doyle, not so much. Like, will Tulsi even survive, like, the first start? Will they bring in Jacoby Brissett? Because there were people saying, oh, they acquired Brissett. Luck may not be coming back for a while. It's really not about that. They really didn't like what they saw from any of their quarterbacks. You know, they didn't want to put Stephen Morris in there. They felt like it was almost a wash with Tulsi. Tulsi had 13 preseason drives, and they only scored on four of them. They feel like Brissett maybe gives them a better option because they're also looking for their backup quarterback of the future there in Indy.
Jacoby Brissett, it's so funny that they made this trade, and I said this before, and they traded for a dude that can't throw. Like, that's crazy to me.
Oh, the one thing is, like, Jack Doyle, if I had to start him, I wouldn't be that. I think he's going to be, like, a safety blanket type player. He's still somebody I think has some interest. Do I want to start him? No, but he's a guy I drafted, and I have him. I could roll with him this weekend.
Absolutely. It's funny. Jonathan Williams gets cut. Joe Williams is the IR. Two Williams guys that we were very, very high on. I remember we did a segment a couple months ago about all these Williams. Jonathan Williams, Joe Williams, Jamal Williams.
Jamal's the last one standing.
Jamal, for now, is the last one standing, and we'll see what kind of role he has on Sunday. Because I don't know how big that's going to be either. I mean, it would be shocking if he was, like, inactive on Sunday. But we'll see.
They'll probably have Aaron Jones inactive, though. I think you want Williams in there because if Montgomery gets hurt, you know, they can at least splice him in there. But, of course, the running game is going to be secondary to that team.
No doubt about it. But Joe Williams hits the IR. Tim Hightower gets cut. And then he's Matt Breida, who I literally didn't know existed 1 week ago today. Is now the backup to Carlos Hyde, along with Kyle Juszczyk. Is Kyle Juszczyk, Corey, somebody that no one's drafted, obviously? Should they have?
No, very deep in the PPR. You want to put a dollar on Juszczyk. He could catch a whole bunch of passes this season. So I could see that. Let's see what it looks like out there in San Fran first. I want to see, like I said, the first year in the Shanahan offense is always where the struggles lie. The second year and beyond is when they always get better. So let's see what it looks like first. But I have no issue, you know, if you want to put him on your team, I have no problem. I don't know. See, how do you feel about Matt Breida?
He's had a really good preseason, and you know, they want to clean out, you know, guys that aren't really theirs, or they like didn't impress them. Although they did bring in Hightower, you know, they did draft Joe Williams, but sometimes guys, look, we saw with guys like Thomas Rawls, they have a very impressive preseason, and the team takes note of it.
I didn't see no Matt Breida plays. How did he do?
I thought he did pretty well.
Yeah. What did he look like?
What
do you look like?
What do you mean, what he look like?
Like, what's like, how big is he? Is he a shifty guy? Is he power back? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was watching him. I thought he had pretty good vision, and he was, like, tenacious. But, you know, but look, if they have to turn him, if Hyde's out, you know, I think he'd be okay. I don't think he'd be anything spectacular.
I just don't know what I just want to know what his game is like. You feel what I'm saying?
He went to Georgia Southern, Corey.
Georgia Southern, that's in
Georgia.
Yeah, I know that. I know somebody that went to Georgia Southern. I think my man Jermaine Derrick Hott went to Georgia Southern.
He's from Brandon, Florida.
Okay.
Does that help you at all?
It's 5'10", 181.
5'11", 190.
Oh, he bulked up.
He bulked up a little bit.
Maybe he can play. I don't know. Maybe he can play.
At 190 pounds, though, how much are you going to hold up to the pounding, though? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Tell you what, he wears number 49 for the Niners. I don't know anybody that wears number 49 that's any good.
that makes
true.
Sense.
Just being
honest, I mean, that's a good.
I
can't think of a good 49. It's true.
Corey brought up the point. Corey brought up the point that Kyle Juszczyk, a dollar making holler guy in a PPR league. He's not somebody that anyone has drafted. We talked a lot about Danny Woodhead and Theo Riddick. I haven't heard, and maybe it's just me, I haven't heard anyone mention Kyle Juszczyk at all as someone that anybody owns in a standard 12-team league, even his PPR league. I have not even remotely heard that. So maybe he's more of a 14-team
guy. I
heard
one guy mention him, and that was it.
Even like the GSC, which is 20 rounds, Kyle Juszczyk like never crossed my mind, or I don't think anybody's mind.
Yeah, look, he's collected about 78 passes in the last 2 years. They did pay a lot of money to get him.
Yeah.
So maybe at some point he does have some relevance. He's more of a best ball guy in like the 24th, 25th round for me. But we'll see. He's somebody, you know, you put on a watch list. If he is the pass catching back for this team and gets like that kind of a role, we'll see. But as of for now, I can't put him on my team.
I mean, I'll say this, right? What we've seen from the summer is that Carlos Hyde is the passing down back here, right? Like, mm-hmm. Carlos Hyde is the guy that's constantly catching passes out of the backfield. He's playing every down. So Kyle Juszczyk is just playing the fullback role. I don't think we're ever going to be ever going to be able to rely on a guy like Juszczyk, but nevertheless, I believe that there could be value at some point. And that's kind of sums up Kyle Juszczyk for the 49ers. His former team, which is the Baltimore Ravens, they got everybody back on Sunday. Joe Flacco returned to the lineup. You had Danny Woodhead return to practice. You had Breshad Perriman return to practice. Corey, do you own Breshad Perriman anywhere?
Is this man crazy? He lost his mind? Own him?
I wanted to say,
I don't even say his name.
I don't know you're going to say his name.
I don't own BP. I don't own BP a single place.
Good guy.
We'll see if he ever goes off. We'll see. Hey, I want to come back. I want to play a little. I want to play a little word association with you guys. I'm gonna name a player. I want you guys to just whatever comes to your mind. I want you to say the word back to me. Play word association. Cut it up.
That's gonna be fun.
Here on the road.
Can we curse?
Sure.
Nice.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back here. On the Road to Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey. Scott playing the piano. He played. This is a man senile.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, it's his birthday. Be nice to him. That's right.
All right.
He don't like that.
So I got a couple,
consider the source.
I got a couple things here, players and whatnot, in front of me that I want to get the first thing that comes to your mind when I name the player. So here we go. Let's get right into it. Scott. Sammy Watkins, first thing that comes to your mind.
You think it's down year.
Down year.
Yeah.
Corey. Sammy Watkins.
Foot.
Upside.
Upside. There you go. Sammy Watkins. You can see all over the board when it comes to Watkins. Corey, Adam Thielen.
Wide receiver.
Matt.
Underrated.
Downfield target.
Devontae Adams, Matt.
I think maybe a little overrated.
Overrated. Scotty.
Dr. A, ankle.
Yeah, you can just say ankle.
60%.
60%. There you go.
His ownership.
Yeah. It's his thing. You don't have to describe it.
Not everybody's listening knows that, though.
Well, that's what he can describe it if he'd like. All right, Scott, you're up first. Doug Martin.
Underrated.
Underrated. Matt. First thing.
Confused.
Why are you confused?
Because, I mean, he's had two really good years, three crap years. People, I think, people are overpaying, I think. I don't know. I mean, it is a good offense. It's just very
confusing.
In the
eighth round, do you think they're overpaid?
I see him go in the sixth round repeatedly. That's where I see him go.
Confused is Matt Medica. Doug Martin to you, Corey Parson.
Bum.
Bum.
But reformed, possible reformed bum.
Are there any other reformed bums out there?
Nobody comes to my top of my mind.
Devontae Adams could be a reformed bum.
He was never really a bum, though.
Yeah, he was, dude.
He did that 1 year early in his career where
two years ago, bum. Yeah,
he was a bum.
Yeah.
Then last year, he was a beast.
He was the most improved player.
So he's a reformed bum.
But he just had 1 year of bumdom. We've seen many bum years of Doug Martin.
All right. Scott Engel. Carlos Hyde.
RB2.
Corey.
49er.
Matt.
RB1.
RB1. All right, there you go. Just the first thing that comes to mind. Here we go. Let's continue on. Matt Modica. Matt Modica. Dak Prescott.
Interesting.
Corey.
Legend.
That was too easy. Scotty.
Top 10.
All right. Corey. Jaquizz Rodgers.
Interesting situation.
Scotty.
Miniature.
He said Jaquizz Rodgers, not Scott Engel.
Replacement.
I like that, Matt.
Terrence West, Matt.
Jag.
Big belly like Corey Parson.
Pedestrian.
Okay. Corey, Eric Ebron.
My guy.
Scotty.
Inside injuries.
I'm going to say breakout because he's everybody's breakout tight end.
Fair enough. First thing comes to your mind, gentlemen, play a little word association here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scotty, LeGarrette Blount.
8 touchdowns.
Corey.
It's big dog.
Matt.
Washed.
Ooh. It's interesting. So those are, that's a little separate from everybody else. I said LeGarrette Blount because he's not a player that got cut. And he's a player playing the Redskins defense this week that can find himself in the end zone a couple of times. You believe he's washed. Would you not play LeGarrette Blount at all this week?
Unless I had to, you know, it would have to be somewhere where maybe I had
14
suspensions. Like, yeah, Zeke was suspended. They and played my other, like, Willie Snead I had. I don't know.
They play the Skins this week, right?
They do.
They can move the ball on them.
Yeah, they can move the ball on them. You feel what I'm saying? So you might have an opportunity to finish off some drives.
They have a better defense than Washington.
But I still kind of agree with Matt. I don't think so.
They do.
What?
They think they have a pass rush and the secondary's better this year.
The secondary's not going to be good.
They got Darby this year.
I don't care if they got Deion Sanders.
Darby is an improvement.
He's an improvement.
I still got to see that.
They're Dallas opponents. I don't expect to give
make
any
me
credit.
Difference. They don't make any difference
you
to
like
me, Scott.
You don't like the Eagles.
I don't have a problem with the Philadelphia Eagles. Don't make a difference to me. I'm telling the truth about the team.
I am.
No, you're not.
The defense is better this year.
We'll see.
By the way, a little bit of breaking news here. Eric Swoop officially on the IR from the Indianapolis Colts.
Son of a...
Why is that so?
I got to cut him. I got him on the team, too.
You own Eric Swoop?
Well, early drafts. You know what I'm saying?
About July 29th draft.
He was talking about
No, not that. Not that one. Back in June, I owned him in the league. I owned him in the Scott's Fishbowl.
Got him.
Mm-hmm. A player that... I mean, I took late in a couple drafts, and I think he's going to have some value is... Charles Sims. I think Charles Sims is somebody that, you know, you should be paying attention to this weekend.
That Swoop going on the IR, that raises
Jack Doyle. Absolutely.
When Luck comes back, Jack Doyle, now he gets that to himself now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too.
That's if I do a draft tonight, I might take him in the 17th round.
Matt Modica, Amir Abdullah.
Ceiling.
Scotty?
Comet across the sky.
That's like three words.
Yeah.
Corey.
Liz Frank.
All right, so all three had very interesting responses to that one when it comes to Amir Abdullah. Matt, you said seal it.
Because, you know what, I don't own any of him, and he's a guy that I'm deathly afraid of that I'm wrong on.
Okay.
And I have 2 drafts left. Maybe I get a share of him, but it's there for him. It's all there for him. It's just, can he stay healthy and deliver on what people... deliver on expectations. That's the thing. He's got to stay healthy and on the field.
Scotty, you had said what?
Comet.
Basically. He's a comet.
Like he'll flash and he'll be gone.
You said Liz Frank.
That's the injury he had last year. That's the injury he's recovered from last year. It's a very tough injury for a running back to recover from. Likely to get injured again at some point if he's not careful with it. I just don't like the kid's health thing, to be honest with you. I don't have not one share. Now, does that mean I'm not going to have a share at any point? No, not necessarily. I hop in one tonight. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting out there in 7, and I need a running back on my bench. I could take a flyer on him, but I'm not going to feel. If I hit select next to Amir Abdullah's name, a little bit of my stomach is going to bubble up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Acid reflux.
You know, I'm tasting in my mouth.
You know, honestly, so I have 0 shares from Amir Abdullah well. And I kept saying to myself, like, man, I don't have anything. Kind of like what you were just saying, Matt. Like, I just could be wrong here. And I get nothing.
Oh, I'm definitely afraid of it. Because if he was to pop, you know, then you're out on that if you have nothing.
Yeah, I know.
But then I kind of talked myself out of it because I realized why I have no shares over Amir Abdullah, because I don't think he's the goal line back. He's not the pass catch. He's not the pass catching back, and he's always injured. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I don't like Amir Abdullah.
Yep.
Like I could always just kind of come back around to the reason that I didn't like him in the first place. So that makes me kind of feel good about it. So there you go. All right, let's continue on here. The word association today on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey, Kelvin Benjamin.
Uninspiring.
That was better than I thought you'd be at. Scott.
Whoa. What do you mean?
Because I thought you severely don't like Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, no. Okay,
so saying
okay,
uninspiring is not nearly as negative as I thought. Like, uninspiring to me means, okay, like, he's not sexy, but, like, I get it. That's what uninspiring means to me.
Okay.
Standard leaguer.
Okay.
Optimistic.
So it's kind of the opposite of where Corey was at uninspiring. You went with optimistic. How come you're more optimistic? And I'd like to know Corey's response to that.
A couple. He's still Cam's boy. He's still the number one wide receiver on this team. I believe he's got one of the, from what I saw, one of the easiest matchups for cornerbacks, if you want to look at it that way. So that's why I'm optimistic.
Why are you uninspired?
He's uninspiring. I think that the talent, he could be better. Maybe the situation he's in Carolina. I just think he's kind of a, you know, he's good enough. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now, the thing adequate.
Adequate. And the thing that Matt Modica says are true, he does have a, like, he faces, like, the worst corners all year. You feel what I mean?
Sure,
so that's an advantage for him, and he is the number one. I just don't know what this offense is going to look like this year.
King, Randall Cobb.
Mediocre.
Matt.
Contract.
Corey.
Bounce back.
Is that assuming he's in a contract year?
Well, he's in a contract. I mean, for him, I think this year is the year. If it's either it's going to be the Davante Adams going forward, he's off the team. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of with Corey. That's why I'm a little nervous with Adams. Because if Randall Cobb does bounce back and you put Marty Bennett in there, somebody's got to take a little bit of a hit.
Yeah, probably so. As you know, Scott, I'm off of Randall Cobb.
I feel like he gets banged up too easily.
He was very good down the stretch last year. When he came back in the playoffs, he got it done. So he could go right back into that role and kill my 60% on Davante Adams. But that offense has enough to support three wide receivers. Tyrod Taylor's still in the protocol. He's going to be a game time decision.
Tyrod Taylor's still in that concussion protocol. So Sean McDermott, could be Nate Peterman Sunday. We'll see if they sign Joe Webb potentially to be the backup. Obviously, experience there in Carolina. Webb released by the Panthers here over the weekend. Let me give you another one. Zay Jones, Corey.
Zaytoven.
Zaytoven.
That's the young man is going to. The young man has the opportunity to be a hit maker. The thing about it is the pieces around him are going to be able to get him the football. The situation around him is terrible, but I think he can play and he has an opportunity. But it's just like Buffalo is just trying to quit. Throwing a towel.
Throwing a damn towel.
Throwing a damn towel.
Scott.
Was this word association? Or?
Sure. No, Scott.
Then how come you had a 40-word answer then?
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. PPR.
Okay.
That's actually what I was going to say, so I'll say opportunity.
All right, there you go. PPR. You think Zay Jones can be a being
behind Cooper Kupp, he's my favorite rookie. One of my favorite rookie wide receivers.
I feel like you can leave out Corey Davis from this, I've noticed.
Well, Davis has been hurt.
You got to play the long game.
I'm not saying I don't like Corey Davis. Okay. I just think he's going to have a nice opportunity he can take advantage of.
Okay. Let's do one more before we hit the break. That is going to be Corey Coleman, Matt Modica.
Oof. Interesting. I'm going to go back to
Scott.
A masculine Corey.
Excited.
There's a lot of, I don't know, a lot of excitement, I guess is the right word, for Corey Coleman at the Steelers, which I hadn't felt before, really, today.
I feel like I'm excited about Coleman and Kaiser. I want to see what this Browns team look like. There'll be a team, I'm going to watch that game on Sunday. Like, is the red zone going to be on? But I'm going to pay close attention to what the Cleveland Browns look like.
Said nobody. Ever. Roto Experts in the morning. We come back. We'll do some more right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So something else I've been wrestling with. People, when I drafted Joe Mixon in the fourth round last week, I felt pretty good about it. But I did so, my co-host on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever said it's fine. And Mike Florida tweeted this out on Sunday, and I wanted to ask you guys' opinion about it. He said if he owned Joe Mixon this week, he would start both Jaquizz Rodgers and Jonathan Stewart over him in week one. Matt, you've been Mr. Joe Mixon here most of this summer. Would you do the same, or do you think my floor
Absolutely
is out of his
not.
Damn mind?
I would still Joe Mixon.
Fantastic. I told him the same thing. I lost it on him. I'm like, no, you're wrong. But he pretty adamant that he would start Rodgers.
Yeah, because everybody's hearing this Jeremy Hill nonsense.
Was he lying?
Jeremy Hill's not good.
I don't think so.
Gio Bernard will infringe on him and, you know, be the pass catching guy. He'll have some sort of role. He'll get touches. But I think Mixon, I mean, Mixon's shown little flashes of how good he can be with certain moves you see him do. And look, this is, he's a big boy. He's pretty much the same size as Jeremy Hill. He's 5 pounds lighter and a hell of a better runner.
Yeah, I think that to start Jonathan Stewart over him is a real stretch.
Yeah, I kind of say the same thing, to be honest with you.
Maybe he's trying to make headlines on Twitter or something.
Well, Mike Fleur doesn't really do that, does he?
Yeah.
I believe ultimately that I'm going to start Joe Mixon this week. It never even crossed my mind that I wouldn't start Joe Mixon.
It's not a slam dunk matchup. That's a good defensive line against the run. Brandon Williams, very good nose tackle. So, you know, Mixon's going to have to work hard for his yardage. But if they can move the ball in the air, I think he'll get some goal line chances because Jeremy Hill's ankle is still bothering him.
Yes, and I agree. Listen, this guy's here for a reason. He's here for a reason. He's here for touchdowns.
So are you trying to make a statement?
That's what Scotty just said.
Yeah, that's it was Florio.
Yeah.
True or false? I'm trying to make a statement.
There you go. All right, let me continue on here with some other questions I had for you gentlemen. Would anybody start Kenny Golladay this week?
You got to be in a desperate situation, maybe in a 14 or 16 team league, to put the rookie right in your lineup for week one. And then they got that matchup against Arizona. Arizona has a good defense, so let's slow down. You should have drafted better to where Kenny Golladay does not have to be a starter on your team.
Exactly.
Like if you're like, oh, I'm gonna sit T.Y. Hilton for Kenny Golladay, I wish you would. I would smack you dead in your face.
Look, that secondary, you know, they have some depth issues because, you know, they have to play, you know, the Honey Badger at corner rather than safety. But, you know, not enough to take advantage of it. They got a really good pass rush. They're revamping the offensive line in Detroit. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford. He's going to have to be efficient. I like Theo Riddick this week. I think he's going to have to throw him out of the backfield. But, you know, Golladay, you know, had one big preseason game. He's not ready to start on any fantasy teams yet.
Yeah, but he's somebody I would keep an eye on Golladay. I think he's a guy that maybe after a few games under his belt.
Watch him, monitor him.
Because they are going to need somebody in that that end zone.
Head coach Sean McDermott, by the way, we talked about the Bills in just a second. Again, he says the number two running back job is, quote, by committee. Mentions Mike Tolbert, Joe Bannard, and Tywan Jones. That's the backup.
Joe
Shady.
Bannard, wow.
All of them are wow. We start Jordan Matthews this week, Matt Modica.
If I had to, but I would not want him to be one of my in a three receiver league. I would not want him as one of my top three receivers.
Would you start him as a flex though, then?
Yeah, but I still think you should have done better. But I'm going to go heavy on the wide receivers. I mean, I'm basis of a PPR. I do think he has the best chance of being the Bills catching the most receptions on the Bills this year.
Would you rather start Jordan Matthews or Cooper Kupp this weekend?
I'll go Cooper Kupp. I mean, the matchup against Indy is really exciting, and he's been a guy that Goff has targeted frequently in the preseason.
Do you guys, what is the spread in this game, by the way? The Rams and the Colts. Anybody know?
All right, check out my bookie.
I should have it in here. I'm on my bookie right now.
The over under.
So I'm looking at this. Indianapolis opened as a it's very interesting. So Indy opened as a 3.5 point favorite. It's in LA. It is now the Rams are now a 3 point favorite over Scott Tolzien and the Colts. Mm-hmm. Is it weird that I kind of like the Rams from a survivor perspective? Like I just want to pick against Scott Tolzien.
I don't blame you. No, it's not
is that
weird.
Crazy.
It's not crazy at all.
It's not crazy, but that's still. I don't think it's. They should win this game, but it's not like I feel very confident.
I understand. I mean, listen, we're going to go through this later on in the week. Scotty knows it. Scott gives us his locks of the week. And ultimately, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say, Scott, because I think it's very tough this week.
You know, the Rams might not have Aaron Donald for the
That's
opener,
a good point.
But you know, the defensive line still has some pieces to dominate that offensive line. You know, Scott Tolzien, you know, they have a good secondary there. But they won't put too much on Goff. I think you can see a lot of Gurley there. I like the Rams this week.
Do you like Kendall Wright this week? Would you start him, Scott?
Kendall Wright.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, please jump right in.
No, if you got a situation in the flex, I think, especially if you start three wides and you in the PPR and you want to try to get that fourth piece in there, Kendall Wright could get a lot of targets this week as the Bears play from behind because Atlanta going to go in there and try to drop the hammer on them. You feel what I'm saying? So as they're playing from behind, you could see Kendall Wright get 11, 12 targets this weekend. So, I think he's definitely a player of interest to put in your starting lineup this week.
I'm not going to mess with it. Somebody's going to end up catching passes there. But for all I know, in 2 weeks, you know, it could be saying, oh, I picked up Deontay Thompson. You don't know who's going to catch passes for Chicago. And just because it's going to be a blowout and they're going to be playing catch-up, it's like it could be the blowout to the proportion where they pull the starters out or something like that. Or it's just like maybe it's competitive to the third quarter. And then, you know, in the fourth, Atlanta pulls away.
You think they're going to
quit? When the game is competitive, I don't know what they can do against that. That's an underrated secondary. Plus, they got Trufant back this year, too.
If I had to, I would start Wright. It's not something I want to do.
You don't want to do it.
But I'd have to give him the inside track of getting the targets, catching the ball there. I know Kevin Wright is the upside guy. Is the guy that we hope will be the number one, you know, transitions into that phase. But as of now, I mean, Kendall Wright is the proven veteran. As we stated earlier, you know, he has a relationship with the offensive coordinator going back to Tennessee. So we'll see what happens.
Would anyone, I mentioned before when it comes to, I'm sorry, this is what I want to say. Would anyone start Marquise Goodwin this week?
I don't think you can start Marquise Goodwin this week. I definitely would keep an eye on his production. I'll make sure I keep a check of that box score because I think he's a guy that can pop off the waiver wire in week one. Next week, this time, we could be talking about going to pick up Marquise Goodwin and what kind of fab we're going to put on him.
Sure.
No, I mean, look, I agree with Corey. He's somebody that, I mean, if you got to be, if you want up week one, I think something went wrong with your draft. But he's a guy that you put in later on in the season as like a flex option when you got to fill in some roster spots, maybe some injuries and stuff. He's not a guy I think you could rely on consistently.
To me, I'm not rostering Marquise Goodwin. I'm certainly not starting him. To me, I always say opportunity doesn't always lead to production. I think opportunity doesn't lead to production here. The guy is just like, you know, playground football. Go deep if you're open. We'll hit you over the top. Other than that, nothing to see there with Marquise Goodwin for me.
All right. So would you rather start Corey Parson, Danny Woodhead, or Theo Riddick this week?
I'm starting Theo Riddick this week. I like the offense better in Detroit than I do in Baltimore. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Woodhead's going to get his work too. But I'd rather start Theo this week.
Scott.
It's close because both schematically they make sense because you're facing teams with two good defensive lines and you want to throw the ball to your safety valve there. You know, I'm gonna have to go Woodhead because I believe when he's in there, it's almost a wash to me. But I feel like there's more weapons out there in Detroit. So I think Woodhead will be more of a prime read for his quarterback. It's close, but I'll go Woodhead.
I'm going to say Woodhead because I think Flacco's going to need to lean on him more, especially in week one. Not, you know, practicing a lot, missing most of the preseason. So I'll go Woodhead here.
Okay. With Willie Snead out for three games, and he's been suspended, had the DUI in the offseason, suspended four games, appealed it down to three, how... I don't want to say imperative because that's the wrong word. But how much of a lock, Scott, is Ted Ginn Jr.?
I'm confused. This Willie Snead thing right quick.
Yes, sir.
This is the first offense for Willie Snead.
Maybe he's in the protocol before and we didn't know about it.
Maybe that's what it was.
I think it's amazing how he was kept under wraps.
I guess because it's Willie Snead, you know what I'm saying? It's not a big enough name.
No,
but still, I'm curious as to a four-game suspension reduced to three. And like we said, we've never heard anything about Willie Snead before.
Well, he violated the substance abuse policy, so he must have been in the protocol previously and then got popped.
Maybe that's what it is.
You don't hear about that once people join the protocol. You don't necessarily hear about that if he was caught.
Yeah, because that's like private.
It's private. Yeah. You might have failed a test, you didn't hear about it. And now immediately gets suspended four games and then down to three.
All right.
Scott, is Ted Ginn somebody we should lock into our lineups?
Not lock in, but especially if you're playing in a larger league, like larger than 12 teams, I think he's certainly viable. He certainly gets a role out there with Brandon Cooks gone and now Snead gone too. But you know what, though? It's a very tough matchup against Minnesota. That's a very, very good secondary, and they can bang him around.
It's interesting. Willie Snead's got an interesting history here, as he went undrafted, signed by the Browns, which I know about, cut at final cuts, did not make the Giants, tried out for the Giants, he made that team, went to the Panthers practice squad, gets cut there, signs of the Saints practice squad, and then became Willie Snead.
Yeah, nice job.
And you know what, with Ted Ginn Jr. too, it's everybody talks about Roethlisberger's home road splits. Breeze tends to not play as well on the road. I don't know if I like the matchup for Ginn. I don't like him if I like him right out of the gate.
I'm the opposite way. I think get shootout like element out there. And you know what I'm saying? Son, what's up from Florida State? Xavier Rhodes, he gonna be on Michael Thomas. Ted Ginn might be able to get that work.
I don't think the second guy in the secondary is necessarily exploitable for him.
We're gonna come back right with the program. Coming up next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Hey, final five of the Roto Experts in the morning. The Roto Experts block continues next. Fantasy Football Frenzy with Matt Modica, Corey Parson,
Jake Seeley. We're not going to be on Dish today or on the network. We're going to be YouTube live for the first hour, so make sure that you head on over to YouTube, FNTSY YouTube channel, and come in Studio 34 with us and get some of this good action on the Fantasy Football Frenzy.
Absolutely.
The Goon Hour starts early today. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, we talked about the Bills a couple of moments ago, and there is some serious concern in regards to Tyrod Taylor, as it looks like Tyrod Taylor is very much in the concussion protocol. As Vic Carucci just tweeted out, Sean McDermott says Peterman is ready to start versus the Jets if need be. We're confident in Nathan, and they're so confident that they went and signed Joe Webb this morning from Carolina, which definitely puts in serious doubt, Corey, Tyrod Taylor's availability.
Yeah, I'm not fooling with the. I don't know what that was.
That was the Bills.
That was Skype.
Okay, I'm not fooling with the Buffalo Bills this weekend.
Yeah, as I mentioned on the break, I'm a Bills fan. Yeah. I don't even want to watch this.
You know what? You know what though? I'm not off on Zay this weekend. I'll tell you why. You said it a lot for a Jewish guy.
That's your go-to line.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
And you don't like Kendall Wright, but you like Zay Jones. Please explain this to me.
Because Peterman is had tunnel vision for him the entire preseason, and they're playing against a very exploitable Jets secondary.
I don't think the Jets secondary isn't bad.
Not good either.
Oh, first round safeties. I mean, the Jets defense is not bad. The Jets defense isn't bad.
They're better at safety than they are at corner.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
I think Zay Jones is going to catch some passes. Yeah,
I'm more comfortable playing Kendall Wright than Zay Jones.
I'm more comfortable playing Zay Jones than Kendall Wright.
One of the funny stories, I've seen a lot of people like they're drafting the Bills defense to go against the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets defense is not the weakest part of their team.
Not even close.
And well, what about starting the Jets defense itself?
You can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what he's saying.
You want to start Zay Jones.
That's crazy.
In a larger league, I'd consider it.
What's a larger league, Scott?
14 teams.
You don't play in any 14-team leagues.
I'm saying if a listener plays in 14-team league.
In a 12-team league, Scott, Kendall Wright and Zay Jones.
I wouldn't be starting either one of them.
You can't say that, Scott. Come on, man.
I can say whatever I want.
Oh, my
God. Come on, you just said you would consider starting Zay Jones, and then you just said
Wait a minute. Hold on. He's moving the goalposts here. You're moving the goalposts.
You moved the goalposts instead of 14 teams. team league. Right. Since when we ever
I'm not going to start either one of them in a 12 team league. We're not even going to have this conversation. You're going to start Kendall Wright. You're going to start Kendall Wright in a 12 team league.
Somebody has to make this decision. They're coming to you. I don't want you to tell them in a 14 team league. In a 12 team league, Scott, Zay Jones and Kendall Wright.
How many people are going to have this decision in the 12
team
league?
People could have it, dude. Willie Sneed.
I'm going to start Zay Jones then.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Answer the question.
Thank you.
Excuse me?
Answer the
father.
Question. Oh, boy. Is it going to fall the thing?
Yeah. I would start Kendall Wright, by the way. And that's
I would, too.
Total mishmash. At least I know who the go-to guy in Buffalo is.
You don't?
Yes, I do. It's going to be Zay Jones.
How do you know that?
I've watched him the whole preseason. He's got tunnel vision.
Yeah, but Jordan Matthews really didn't
Jordan
play.
Jordan Matthews didn't play.
What?
Jordan Matthews did not play.
Nathan Peterman has a rapport with Zay Jones, and the Jets' corners can be exploited.
I think that it's very hard to say.
You throw a dart in Chicago. Throw a dart.
Well, I'm not throwing a guy. I know he's a slot guy. I know for sure. It's a fact.
I don't know who they're going to be able to favor there. And they got a tougher matchup, I think.
Potentially. Potentially. I just know that Kendall Wright has his role in the slot.
And I think that Zay Jones is going to be the go-to guy for Nathan Peterman if he starts.
It could be. Matt, who would you start? Zay Jones or Kendall Wright?
Probably Kendall Wright.
Fair enough. Week. Hey, what's going up next here inside the Fantasy Football Frenzy?
Inside the Frenzy, I know people got drafts coming up today, so we're going to help you. We're going to do some pick 'em. Myself, the all-in kid, and Matt Madiga look at players a little bit deeper down draft boards, let you know which direction to go in that. And also, I got the schedule up. We'll start getting ready and get prepared for week one of the NFL season. We'll be on YouTube Live, so start heading over there right now. ASAP, get over there.
For Matt Madiga and Cooper Parsi, my name is Greg Sussman. Happy birthday to the
kid. Happy birthday to the kid.
Scott Angle. We'll all be back again tomorrow to do it all
He shared a birthday with Beyonce. How weird is that?
And Mike Piazza.
That's it. We're done.
I bring up Beyonce. He bring up Mike Piazza. Show you where his head is at.